Yesterday, Sharaji finished explaining the eight niyana, the eight kinds of deliverance, and eight kinds of avarana, eight kinds of obstacles, as taught by the late Venerable Mahasi Sharaji, according to the teaching of the Buddha. And Mahasi Sharaji also explained how one can reflect in order to be able to practice. And today Sharaji will explain, and it might take a little more than 1 hour. And Sharaji encourages the yogis to listen with patience. The things that one can reflect on is when lobha, greed arises among men and women, when greed arises among the opposite sex, one has to reflect on asubha bhavana. One should contemplate on the foulness. And time is not enough to explain in detail, but it is said that one should reflect on the loathsomeness when greed arises among the opposite sex. And when there is dosa, hatred, anger, aversion arises, one needs to contemplate mitta bhavana. One needs to contemplate on the loving kindness. One needs to pervade loving kindness. Pervading loving kindness, one will not have dosa, not wanting the benefit of others will be removed. And when lobha, greed arises, and sankhara vattu, one has to contemplate as asamika, there is no person that owns. If one thinks about the eyes, such as the eyes are so good, so clear, or the eyes are beautiful, or when one comes to think of the ears, how sensitive the ears are, and also thinking about the nose, tongue, and body, one can have greed on one's own eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body. So these eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body are sankhara vattu. And if one has greed on one's own sankhara vattu, one has to reflect that one has these just momentary. They are not permanent. And there is no person who owns eye, ears. The person who has these eye, ears, nose, and so on, the person who has them is not permanent. And thus, asamika, there is no owner, there is no one who possesses these eye, ears, nose, and so on. And davakalika, they last only certain time. Only when the person is young, the eyesights are good, hearing is good, so it wouldn't stay long. And one has to reflect that also. And there should be anicca manasikara. One should contemplate that things are impermanent. When there is ordinary form of dosa, ordinary form of anger, one can contemplate dhatu manasikara. One can contemplate on the elements, contemplating that the body is made up of the four elements, patavi, techo, apo, and vayo, the earth element, temperature element, water element, and the air element, and there is nothing that is satisfactory and one should contemplate. How one should contemplate on these things are mentioned in Visuddhimagga Atthagata and also in the book by the late Venerable Mahasi Saraji, where there is the chapter about Indriya Samvara, restraint of the senses. It also mentions that one should not just look whatever the person wants to look. If one is looking everything what the person wants to look, then it shows that the person cannot restrain one's faculties. Not having restraint, if the person sees something that is desirable, that can be greed. And if one sees something undesirable, there can be anger, aversion, hatred. And thus, one should not be looking this and that the person wants to look at. So Saraji explained that in the past, there was one king who approached a young monk asking a question. Venerable, you are so young. At this age, people are enjoying sensual pleasure. So while you are still in the age of enjoying sensual pleasure, how do you control yourself? So the monk replied that when seeing a lady that is of a young age, then he will consider her as a sister. If it is a mother's age, the monk considers her as a mother. If it is an aunt's age, the monk considers her as an aunt. In this way, the monk considers her as his own relative so that raga, lust will not arise. And still, the king was not satisfied with the answer. And the monk say again that he reflects asubha, he reflects on the loathsomeness. However, a person may be beautiful while being looked as a whole, but if one takes a look part by part of the body, such as hair, nails, and so on, there is nothing that one will have lust on. But still, the king was not satisfied. The king said, however, one may be just contemplating the body parts as hair, nails, and so on, still, raga, lust can arise. And the monk replied that the monk practiced restraint of the senses, not looking here and there, not looking at things, and by being mindful by the way of satipatthana. And the king was satisfied by the answer, agreeing that it also happened to him. He has to live where there are beautiful princesses. At first, he did not have any restraint. So when going among the princesses, he even forget to contemplate on the virtue of the Buddha. So he had no control whatsoever. But at some time, he practiced restraint of the senses. When he practice restraint, his mind was in peace. And this is what happened to the king when he practiced restraint. His mind was more in peace. And Saraji says, if you don't believe it, you should try practicing the restraint, being mindful, and you will see for yourself. When Udaccha, restlessness, arises, when vijigicca, skeptical doubt, arises, when delusion arises, one can dispel this restlessness, skeptical doubt, and delusion by discussion or listening to Dhamma talk. So in this way, one can remove these by listening to Dhamma talk, having discussion. And when whatever defilements arise, one can practice either one of the samatha practices. And by practicing with faith and confidence, these defilements are sure to be removed. During the practice, if the person's practice does not seem to improve, or even though there is improvement, when the person feels exhausted, both in the mind and the body, then the person can contemplate any kind of samatha that the person is skillful of. So if there is a certain kind of samatha that the person is skillful of, in the practice of satipatthana, practicing satipatthana for a long time, and if one feels exhausted with the satipatthana practice, then one can put aside satipatthana practice for a while and contemplate the samatha practice that the person is skillful of. Practicing samatha is nearer to sukha, and sukha happiness can easily arise by practicing samatha. Practicing vipassana, one encounters dukkha, suffering in the body and in the mind. So practicing samatha, there can be comfort. Practicing vipassana, in the practice of vipassana, when samadhi concentration develops, yogi experiences itchiness, pains, ache, discomfort. And when this happens, when the person feels exhausted in the practice, the person can just leave the vipassana practice just for a while and contemplate on the samatha that the person is skillful of. And when there is comfort, then return back to the vipassana practice. The example is given here: when fighting a battle, when the soldier gets exhausted, the soldier has to go to a place where there is safe, take a rest, and after he is refreshed, he can fight the battle again. So this example is compared to just switching to samatha for a while and then back to the vipassana practice. Practicing satipatthana meditation is just like fighting in a battlefield. While fighting in a battlefield, the person should be careful so that the person can fight the enemy. And at the same time, the person should be careful to avoid shots from the enemy. A person who has not practiced samatha before, when there is exhaustion during the practice, the person needs to continue practicing satipatthana, noting in the way that the person can practice. In the beginning of the satipatthana practice, the person is not skillful yet, but when the person becomes skillful in the practice, the defilements have no chance to arise. And the late Venerable Mahasi Sayadawji explained in the chapter about Sila Visuddhi, purification of the mind for the lay people. And for monks, when there is gogoja, restlessness, worry, Then the worry about the precepts, the monk can do certain kind of vinaya, certain kind of vinaya rule in order to dispel the offense. And such kind of contemplation are for those who have knowledge, who have scriptural knowledge. And the second is, as a worldly being, in this sense severe, mostly there can be mitya vitaka, wrongful thoughts. Wrongful thoughts, wanting to see good things, wanting to hear good sounds, and so on. And also, there can be the wanting to destroy others, not being satisfied with others. There can be wish to destroy others. And out of envy, jealousy, stinginess, there can be vihimsa, vitaka, thinking of cruelty, wanting to torment others. So when these arise, one should reflect on the flaws or the faults of these wrongful thoughts. If the person cannot control these wrongful thoughts, the person can commit wrongdoings by body and speech. So such kind of wrongful thoughts can lead to wrongful action by body and speech, that the person will be breaking the precepts, which can lead to be reborn in lower existences. So in this way, one should reflect on the bad consequences of these wrongful thoughts, the bad results that these wrongful thoughts can bring. And nowadays, the people who are overwhelmed by these mitya vitaka, the ones that are overwhelmed by these wrongful thoughts, whether students or family members, as they are overwhelmed by these wrongful thoughts, they let their mind go free, not having control, and they commit wrongdoings by body and speech, and their own world become ruined. So let alone the lower existences that will follow, but even in this life, committing these wrongful action, the person will not be true human, the person will not be humane, the person will not have a humane mind, and the person lacks knowledge, and such kind of people are inferior and degraded. And there are countless number of people who are inferior and degraded as they are not humane, they do not have humane mind, and they do not have knowledge due to committing wrongdoings. As they are not free from wrongful thoughts, they are suffering in this life. They cannot free themselves from the suffering of the wrongs, and indulging in these wrongful thoughts, they are pampering, they are raising their body filled with these wrongful thoughts. And throughout the samsara round of existences, they encounter various kinds of suffering, having no peace or happiness, and it is very frightening. So one should reflect, as mentioned above, in order to dispel these wrongful thoughts. And one should dispel the gross defilements by the practice of sila, morality. One has to practice concentration in order to keep the mind calm, collected. And in order to weaken the defilements, one should fulfill panya, wisdom. And by developing knowledge, stage by stage, one should develop magapala jnana, path and fruition knowledge, in order to remove these wrongful thoughts totally. And also there are ways of encouraging oneself in the practice. And the teachers mention how the noble ones in the past encouraged themselves in the practice. So these mitya vitaka, wrongful thoughts, arise from this body. So these wrongful thoughts do not arise out of nowhere. They do not arise from other person, but these wrongful thoughts arise within this atta bhava, within this person, within this being, within this body. So one should say, hey body, which is entertaining these wrongful thoughts. So in this way, one should look down and one should discriminate. One should treat it with discrimination. Hey body, which is entertaining these wrongful thoughts, I am not your slave, meaning I won't entertain you. And I'm not the servant that has to take salary from you, meaning that one will not entertain these thoughts, wrongful thoughts, and one will not do things in favor of these wrongful thoughts. And also, one should warn that while having the Buddhist culture in the dispensation of the Buddha, I will no longer pamper you, I will no longer raise you according to your wish. And because I have been pampering you, I have been pampering this body, doing the way it likes, raising in the way it wishes, I have been having various kinds of suffering. So in this way, one should say the faults of this body, how one has to suffer by pampering it. At a certain time, when kama vitaka, sensual thoughts arise based on a certain object, then one should disregard that object and note other objects. And if these sensual thoughts arise again and again, whenever one is noting the object, at times one has to stop noting. So the way of stopping the noting helps when there is excessive viriya, when there is excessive effort, being over eager in the practice. So when this happens, having excessive effort, being over eager, stopping the noting a while helps the practice. So when that happens, when there is excessive effort or over eager that the sensual thoughts arise, one has to stop the practice for 2-3 hours or half a day or one day. And while stopping the practice for a certain period of time, the person can have conversation with others, the kind of conversation that is not concerning with the practice, and the kind of conversation that does not concern with defilements, other kind of topic that will just freshen his mind, can be talked during this time. And also one can go and pay respect to pagoda, stupa in that period of time. And also, while stopping the practice, one can do things like taking a shower, washing clothes, cleaning up the place, and if the person wishes to sleep, he or she can sleep without mindfulness. And when time is up, one should get up and continue the practice. So this method can be applied when yogi has attained Sankharupika Jnana. When the yogi has been in the state of Sankharupika Jnana for a long time, unable to attain Magga Jnana, path knowledge, due to excessive effort or longing or over-eagerness. So if the yogi has been in the Sankharupika stage for a long time without being able to attain Magga Jnana, path knowledge, this method can be applied and it is helpful for such yogis. And asati amanesikaro, meaning one should not pay attention, not directing one's mind onto the object. So one should not pay attention to the object of meditation. One should not direct one's mind onto the object of meditation during that time. So as described in the commentary. So still, if the person is unable to dispel such kind of wrongful thoughts, sensual thoughts, then one can be reciting the verses that one may have learned before. And this needs to be done, and the meditation teacher will instruct whatever needs to be done. So the person can go somewhere else, recite the verses, or read, pronouncing the words, reading the verses, and so on. Another way is, if there are some items in the pocket, in the olden days, they used to keep matches and lighter in order to light up. But nowadays, they might keep some nail clipper or flashlight or things like that. So what the person can do is take out these items that are in the pocket, one by one, naming it. This is a nail clipper, this is flashlight, this is a phone, and so on. And again, put these things back into the pocket, one by one, nail clipper, the flashlight, and phone, and so on. So if one thing of it as an ordinary way, one may think that it is just ordinary taking things out one by one, naming it. But it is just a method of redirecting one's attention outside of the practice. Redirecting one's attention outside of the practice is another way to dispel these wrongful thoughts. And at the olden days, people pursue the practice as a priority. They practice meditation as the priority, practicing in a secluded forest place. And they sometimes have to build their own kutis themselves. So They can build their own kudi by way of dispelling these wrongful thoughts. And these are mentioned together with story, but time is not enough to explain all. And the fourth way, when a thought arises, one has to look for the origin of the thought, how the thought originates. So before the thought actually arises, there can be some object or there can be a certain inclination in the mind that originates the thought. So if the person is mindful, the moment there is inclination in the mind before the thought arises, then being mindful of it, the thought cannot arise. When the thought arises, and if the person is liking these thoughts, then such thoughts can go on for long. It happens especially in the persons who are fond of thinking, and especially the Westerners who are taught to have intellectual knowledge. They keep on thinking one after another, and it doesn't stop after quite a long time. But if the person does not want these thoughts to arise, having the determination that one will note whatever object that arises, then one will be able to note from the very beginning the thought, from the very beginning of the thought arising. So if the person is mindful from the very beginning, as soon as the thought arises, the person will not be carried away by the thoughts, and the person will gain victory. And if the thought still continue to arise, one has to find out what is the cause of the most recent thought, and one has to be mindful of these thoughts in order to dispel the thought. So according to the fourth method, one has to find the originating factor of the thought and the end of the thought. So in this way, one should find the beginning and the end of the thought. And this is the fourth method. The person who really cherishes the practice, when the thought arises, the person will be able to find the originating factor of the thought and will be able to dispel the thought. And such kind of person who cherishes the practice will not let himself or herself be carried away by the thoughts to lose the precious time. So the person will not lose the precious time being carried away by the thoughts. And noting diligently, these thoughts eventually go away. The fifth method does not redirect the mind onto other things, but one should continue noting every arising object, such as rising and falling of the abdomen, with diligent effort. And whatever the defilements arise, one should be mindful of it. There should not be thinking or reflecting, but one should keep noting continuously on the object that arises. And one has to warn the defilements. What are you, defilements? I will gain victory on you. In this way, One should challenge these defilements and keep on being mindful continuously on the object that arises. And Buddha gave the method to encourage the yogis. Bhikkhu, if the wrongful thoughts, mitya vidaka, cannot be dispelled by any other method, then one should grit the teeth, having the tongue on the roof of the mouth, and note every arising object with the gritted teeth, suppressing these wrongful thoughts. According to this fifth method, one should be noting the object with the gritted teeth without giving up, and one will surely overcome the distraction. One will surely overcome restlessness. This fifth method is most suitable for yogis who practice for a matter of days or a few months. And it is also suitable for yogis who have less knowledge. And yogis should use the fifth method. And by this way, by using the fifth method, not redirecting the attention onto other things and noting the object of meditation continuously, not redirecting the attention onto other things, it is called apanihitaya bhavana.
Apanihitaya bhavana.
Apanihitaya bhavana. Among the five ways, the first four ways of dispelling the wrongful thoughts has to do with redirecting one's mind onto other things apart from the object of meditation. Because these four methods has to do with directing the mind onto other objects apart from the object of meditation, it is called Panidaya Bhavana. And it is suitable for people who are practicing for many months, many years, and for people who have knowledge, who are wise. So these two ways, Panidaya Bhavana and Apanidaya Bhavana, which are helpful to the Satipatthana practice, are explained by the late Venerable Mahasi Sayadawji. And also, dispelling Nivarana hindrances in order to fulfill the Bodhicitta, the factors of enlightenment. There are commentaries explaining how one should be dispelling the Nivaranas and how to fulfill the Bodhicitta, the factors of enlightenment. And usually they deal with Panidaya Bhavana. And here Saraji does not have time to explain them in detail. In the eighth dayana, in the eighth way of deliverance, all the wholesomeness are the way of deliverance as practiced by the noble ones. So anyone has to practice vipassana, and when the restlessness arises, one should dispel the restlessness, one should dispel these wrongful thoughts, and continue noting vipassana. For yogis who have less knowledge, the meditation teacher gives guidance in the appropriate way combining theory and practice, and the meditation teachers are meeting yogis every day, giving guidance, combining practice and the theory as taught by the Buddha. Some of the teachers have been instructing to note on a single object and saying that it is not necessary to be mindful when eating, or it is not necessary to be noting, bending, stretching, and so on. So one should be careful about these teachers. Whatever that arises in oneself are dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. Not being mindful at the moment the object arises, there will be delusion, moha, and unwholesomeness that has moha as the root arises, and there will be ahirika, lack of moral shame, anuttapa, lack of moral fear, odacha, restlessness. Every time one fails to note the object, there will be moha, delusion, ahirika, lack of moral shame, anuttapa, lack of moral fear, odacha, restlessness. So at least these four will be present every time one misses or fails to be mindful. If there is lack of mindfulness, the mind will go on to things that are being seen, heard, smelled, tasted, and touched. And if one comes across desirable things, there will be raga. Coming across undesirable things, there can be anger, hatred, aversion. Whatever object that arises that is obvious should be noted. One should be mindful of whatever object that is obvious at the present moment. And in noting the object, one should aim the noting mind onto the object, putting effort in the noting. There are teachers who are teaching without being skillful in the teaching of the Buddha. These teachers, they are not skillful in the scriptures, not having practice sufficiently under the teachers. Such kind of teachers one should be aware of. Ordinary form of greed, ordinary form of anger, aversion, hatred, as well as extreme lust, extreme hatred, delusion, not knowing that good things could bring good results, bad things bring bad results, wrong view, all of these are akusala, unwholesome. When practicing in order to be free from suffering, these unwholesomeness are hindering, obstructing the practice. Mostly, the thoughts arise, thinking, imagining, speculating. So these thinking, imagining, speculating are hindering and obstructing the vipassana practice, especially in those who are daydreaming. They are wasting their time with their thoughts, and having these thoughts, it takes time away from mindfulness, and such kind of person will not discern mind or matter, cause and effect. So when these thoughts arise, one should be relentless with these thoughts. One should dispel and remove these thoughts immediately. So one cannot just say, thoughts, get out of here, it won't help. But one has to note it, thinking. And by noting, thinking, these thoughts will be removed. So in this way, when thoughts arise, one should note, thinking, right away, immediately, as soon as the thought arises. By practicing Satipatthana meditation in accordance with the teaching of the Buddha, under the guidance and instruction with the teachers, by practicing continuously, respectfully, meticulously, one gains purification of the mind, discerning nama rupa, cause and effect, and one develops knowledge stage by stage. When knowledge becomes mature, one realizes nibbana. Realizing the nibbana, one will be able to keep the mind in a balanced state. Even though one comes across desirable objects, one will not have extreme greed. Even though one comes across undesirable objects, there will not be anger without any control. And thus, the person knows how to stay, having the mind in the balanced state, in the equilibrium state. And such kind of person will be able to deal with others smoothly. And through the practice of Satipatthana, one gains the goal and one reaches one's destination. The example is given here of driving. When driving, one has to stick on the right lane, knowing the traffic regulation, not speeding, and when coming to turns, then one should slow down, making a turn carefully. When coming to a traffic light, when the light is red, stop the car. When the light is green, it is free to go. When the light is yellow, to slow down. So in this way, in driving, one should take care so that one does not make the mistake, not hurting others. In the same way, when dealing with others, one should be careful not to make the mistake when dealing with others. When driving, one should not make the mistake, and one should also avoid other people's mistake. So just as in the driving, when dealing with others, just as it is important not to make a mistake, it is also important that one does not get the trouble by other people's mistake. Practicing Satipatthana meditation, one will have a good control of oneself so that one will not be making a mistake and one will be able to avoid trouble by other people's mistake. Practicing Satipatthana meditation, one will be able to control oneself. One's behavior in body, speech, and mind will be pure, clean, and gentle. And there is a guarantee that by practicing Satipatthana meditation, one will gain the benefit of having a very good control of oneself. And today is the last day of this retreat. It is the last talk of the retreat. And Saraji first intended to talk on the obstacle of samadhi, concentration, what factors can be a dangerous threat to the development of samadhi, concentration. But as time is not enough, Saraji will talk on that when he has another opportunity. Tomorrow will be the successful completion ceremony. And while the yogis are here, yogis should know how essential Satipatthana practice is for everyone. Satipatthana meditation is most important matter. Satipatthana practice is something that should be done, that is compulsory. And it should be practiced by oneself, no other person can practice on the person's behalf. And Satipatthana practice should be done in time regularly. And it is very beneficial. So based on these four factors, one can conclude that Satipatthana meditation is essential, most important for everyone. When there is polluted air harms the health. So fresh air is essential for everyone. And fresh air is essential for every being. Satipatthana meditation is essential for everyone, just like fresh air. So understanding that Satipatthana practice is essential for everyone, while you have this precious opportunity to practice, having the guidance and instruction from teachers, which are in the tradition of the late Venerable Mahasi Saraji, in accordance with the teaching of the Buddha, may you be able to practice diligently while you have this precious opportunity, and may your life be smooth and safe through the Satipatthana practice.